And as we continue this journey with it, remember, right? With it, right? The resurrection event that we celebrated a couple of weeks ago, we engage in discovery, in a discovery of purpose for our lives. And perhaps you remember that in our program, there is a list of gifts, right? Remember that? They're there for a reason. They're not there just to overlook them and say that looks nice and it's colorful. But they're there because we are not only in a process of discovery, but we are in a process of discovery and engagement. Amen? A discovery of what is God doing, what has God done with us, and how do we engage? Reach, teach, and?
Serve.
Amen. So we know these things, and we just continue to investigate, right? To dig in, to find out what is it that God is doing in our lives. And in many ways, this is how the journey of discipleship can be described. It's a discovery process and an engagement process, right? We learn and we practice. Amen? Okay, all right. I thought that people were going to jump up and say, yeah, that's what it's all about. But that's okay, all right? I understand. It's not easy just to get up and do that every 5 minutes, so I get it. I've been taken aback a little bit about the statement on verse 15, which really points to something that seems so normal that is sometimes really overlooked. These two disciples were talking with each other about all these things that had happened, right? That's from verse 15 directly. And by starting at that place, we can get a sense of what these guys were doing. They were, in a way, reviewing their experience. Perhaps even searching for meaning in it. And I love this fact that is presented by Luke to us. And the reason why that is that it depicts a mode that should be our normal. It should be something that we are living with every day. And sometimes this happens more normally in communities where the experience or their encounter with Christ is more vivid. I don't know if I can describe it correctly by saying it's more present. I remember when I lived in the Northwest, when having a Christian community that was fairly new and being a Christian was out of the ordinary. You see, when you live in a situation like that, you meet a Christian and all of a sudden it's like something new is happening. You are a Christian. And you embrace them, right? You love Jesus Christ. And you're like, ow, man, how in the world did that happen? Tell me about it. The reason why I describe it like this is because sometimes in our lives, being a Christian becomes the ordinary, and it's okay. Everybody's Christian around me, and it's all right. You know, maybe even in those who are not as a Christian, that's okay. But I'm telling you, when you live in a place where no one around you believes in Christ, if you find a brother or a sister, you're going to sit down with them. Right? You're going to sit down with them, and not only you're going to sit down with them, but you want to know what happened in your life that you have come to this place where you're following Jesus Christ instead of what is normal around us. I tell you, I have only seen joy that can be described as an outstanding joy in places where being a Christian is being the odd one, right? I was raised in Puerto Rico, and Puerto Rico was 98% Catholic. When I was growing up, the Protestant odd one, right? And I guess that feeling is the one that really makes me see these things as outstanding. I didn't feel like I was fitting in. I didn't feel like I had something in common. Even we were both Christian folks. I mean, all people believed in God, believed that Jesus Christ died for our sins. But there was a difference. And even in that difference, I felt like I was the odd one out. So coming to a place where that is, more of the norm, as far as Christianity is concerned, I can tell you, it was just joyful to be sitting down with somebody that had the same belief that I did. So I imagine that these two folks that were on the way to Emmaus, they were sort of in the same boat because, as you recall, they had just gone through a very traumatic experience. People all around them had decided that Jesus was not the king that they were praising a week before, but that he was somebody that needed to be killed. So when they were walking, they just going through it and saying, what in the world has happened here? I thought we had it made, right? I thought we had it made. I thought that all the things were just lining up for our king to take over, to push the Romans out, and to give us positions of power. Right? I guess they were wondering. And it provided this walk to Emmaus, 7 miles out from Jerusalem, provided plenty of time for this discussion to go on, for them to really talk about it. I don't know about you, but I would love to overhear what they were saying. What were they talking about? What were the questions that were posing? What were the tales? What were they wondering? How were they trying to discover the meaning behind all these events that had happened and that they had witnessed? And they're still scratching their heads and trying to figure out what was this all about. I wonder how it would be like even today. Even today, to ask the questions, how is it that this can be? How is it that we believe in Christ when maybe a lot of the people that are around us do not? And then at some point, Jesus, right? He sort of shows up. He joins in. He asks them, what are you guys talking about? And I think that he not only startled them, but he also puzzled them. As he asked, what are those events that you are sharing? What really happened here? And these guys were like, I mean, you haven't been looking at your Facebook feed all this time? What's going on, You haven't been seeing all these emails that are showing up about the death of Christ? You haven't seen the tweets lately? Where are you? Where'd you been? You probably just crawled out of a rock somewhere, right? Well, he actually did, but he didn't crawl, right? He didn't crawl out. But I wonder, you know, if it was sort of like even today, you know, when the news cycle is the one that is leading everybody, right? It's like everybody's paying attention to the same things because it's what's being presented to us. So what they are telling Jesus, who to them was just a stranger, somebody that was walking in the way, was basically the story of the day. Have you heard the highlights of today? And it was evident that they were sad. And something had happened that really got to them. But they were probably thinking, man, you know, you really must be hiding. Basically, they really didn't know that he just not crawled out, but he actually busted out of a rock. And there was power in that action. But the fact that they did not recognize him is the one that is puzzling here. They noted that they did not see him as who he was. And it sort of created an uncomfortable situation because they are scratching their heads. They're trying to figure out what's going on with this man who doesn't know what really happened. And it was all over the news. And he insists in this inquiry about the events that had taken place. And they were sort of intrigued, so they answered by telling him the story about the last week to 10 days. And about this man called Jesus. Right? But it was not only Jesus. It was Jesus of Nazareth. All right. And that's really important to know because there were many Jesuses at the time. But this was Jesus of Nazareth. Who was the one? And what story did they tell? Well, they told them about this prophet. Now, Scripture tells us that when they're basically telling them, he says, there's this prophet who was mighty in deed and word. I heard that. He was mighty in deed and word. Now, if you guys just take it as just a normal sentence, then you're missing the point. Because this Jesus of Nazareth that they're talking about is outstanding. He's not just any old Jesus, okay? This is a Jesus who showed them that there was a power accompanying him that was out of this world. You remember when Jesus was about 12 years old? What happened when he showed up in Jerusalem? Tell me. Come on. Right? He went to the temple and what happened? Man, did he show them, right? You see this pattern of word and deed really follows him through life. And that was outstanding. If I was going to ask you about this Jesus, what would be your version? If someone came along on your way and said, hey, what's going on? What's going on in your life? Maybe they're sitting at your table at home and says, hey, tell me about you. What's happening? What would you say? Would you describe Jesus in the same way? Or would you describe Jesus just as a person? just as a prophet, just as any old guy. Notice, end quote, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And you know, whenever you hear a sentence that starts with but, you know that there's something there, right? But, I mean, they had all this story for them. They had all this nice tale about this guy who was mighty, not only in deed, but in word. And there's always a but. And as many of us, they had misguided ideas, misguided expectations of who this man was and what he was about. Come on, people. Only me? Don't we have the wrong expectations about Jesus sometimes? I mean, you know, you remember, you know, the genie, right, in the bottle. Sometimes that's how we see Jesus, right? That if we rub the bottle, you know, in the right way, with the right formula, something is going to happen in our favor. Right. So I'm sure that you've been there. In place of figuring that the Lord is who he is, we figure that the Lord is something that we really want him to be. And maybe sometimes even we figure that somehow Jesus is supposed to fill in every gap that appears in our lives, rather than being the guide that we need to imitate. You see what the difference is here? Maybe we're all in space right now. Instead of us following Jesus, we want Jesus to follow us. Hello? Right? Instead of us following his cue, we want Jesus to be part of our lives in our own base of rules, in our own understanding, and in our own way. It's easy to do. Even as we have walked with the Lord for so long, I know that some of you all have done that and had Jesus teaching, modeling for us. We're still searching. We still have expectations of Jesus that don't fit him. You see, these two that were walking, they were believers, and at the same time, they were unbelievers. You get that? They were believers because they knew who Jesus was. They had walked with him. They had heard his teaching. But they were unbelievers because they really did not get the point. They really did not get the message. Imagine this. The women that go to the tomb, remember, right? They see what happened. Jesus is not there. They come back and they tell them, we did not find Jesus. So they go over there, check it out. And they see it with their own eyes, and they still dismiss the women. Hasn't changed all that much, has it? Still doing the same thing over and over again. They're like Thomas, right? No, I got to verify. If I don't see him, and I remember we talked about that last week. If I don't see him, like the Cold War, you know, the Americans and the Russians. Yeah, trust but verify, right? You remember that? So they still don't get it. And still, I think that Jesus is walking with them for a purpose. There is an objective in Jesus choosing these two guys who are walking away from Jerusalem and on their way. And he wants to address them with some kind of a love and care that only a good teacher has. Any teachers here? Yeah, well, we got some, right? And you know that when you are a good teacher, you're concerned for your students, right? And you're trying to work your way around them so that they have that experience of saying, I get it, right? I get it. I think that that's the best reward for any teacher. Amen? Okay, all right. So he's pursuing them. He's pursuing them with this, you know, I really want them to get it. And this is what he says. Oh, how foolish you are. And how slow of heart to believe. Now, that expression doesn't seem as an expression for somebody that is concerned about the students. But maybe I can rephrase it for you. You see, in the Greek, the expression, how foolish, can be rendered as an endearing term. It's like, maybe I'm saying, you sweet dummies. Right? It's like, you poor kids, you know. I mean, how brainless are you? I don't know, something like that. But don't you feel like that sometimes? Man, even with all the information that we have the witness of Scripture, we have all these experiences that people are telling us, and sometimes we still don't get it. So Jesus has to take the time as a good teacher. He takes the time to interpret, right? You notice that, right? To interpret one more time. He's been doing this for 3 years and people have been following, but he takes the time one more time to interpret what the Scriptures say about him. It's like us interpreting Mr. Trump's tweets, right? It's like you know, Jesus is just providing another session, right? Another seminar. Another Sunday school class. Another conference on the same topic. Another explanation of the same thing. Who am I? And I'm not talking about Reuben, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, right? He's saying to them, well, guys, you remember when Moses, you know, put up the serpent in the desert, and if all, right? looked at them, they would be cured. Remember that? Yeah, they're talking about me. Right? So I imagine that Jesus went through all this process of identifying all the things that were in the scriptures that they knew, and go over it again, and letting them know they're talking about me. And it seems like we all of us, need Jesus to do the same thing. Right? Seems like we all need Jesus to go over it one more time. Okay, Jesus, why don't you do a seminar and invite all the churches again so that we can hear it one more time? Why don't you do another class and invite all the churches again so that we can hear about you one more time? Why don't you do a Bible study? Because we need to hear that again. What's wrong with us, guys? What's happened? So Jesus does teach them again. So Jesus does interpret again. I think that Jesus agrees with me on the topic of repetition. Right? We need repetition. Our memories are not all that good as we think. So we need repetition. But that wasn't enough. That was not enough. Imagine that. They don't only needed to hear this. Actually, I think they were saying, well, that sounds good. I remember when Moses did that. I remember this. Yeah, that sounds all right. But still, it didn't click. So Jesus had to actually show them. You know when it happened, right? Jesus was going to go on his way. And they said, no. Hey, man, where are you going? Come on, eat with us. Stay here. It's going to be evening already. It's going to be dangerous out there. Why don't you stay with us? They offered that hospitality to him, right? And when they did, he sat with them and they were going to have dinner. And guess what happened? He took the bread. And he broke it. Right? It was right there in the text, right? He broke it. He gave it to them. And scripture says that then, only then, did their eyes get open. Then and only then, when it was shown to them, did their eyes open. It's there that all those burning hearts, right? All the things that they were already sensing through the walk and through the conversation and everything that happened that day, it is only then that it really clicked. It is then that it makes sense. That's him. That's the master. That's Jesus. You see, the women were right all the way. We dismissed them, but they were right. We're really dummies. I don't know. Maybe they were saying that, right? We're really dummies. We just don't get it. And boy, do we need our eyes open, right? Do we need our eyes open? I wonder how is it that we get to that place where our hearts are burning, where we sense that there's something that is going on in the midst of all the things that happen in our lives, right? In the midst of work, in the midst of family, in the midst of friends, in the midst of going, in the midst of coming, in the midst of trying to get a break, in the midst of all these things that happens in our, I wonder how is it that we can get a sense of that Spirit of God who is present in our lives and is trying to call our attention and who's trying to lead us and trying to guide us and trying to tell us that there's something more than what we're seeing. He's trying to tell us who this Jesus is. And not necessarily what we want from him, but what he wants to give us. Let's pray. Lord, as Cleopas and his fellow journeyer, we have experienced many things in our lives. We have seen you. We've seen you teaching. We've heard your word. We've heard the stories. We've heard scripture. But sometimes we just don't get it. Sometimes we don't only get who you are, but what is our purpose with knowing that. And God, we just pray. We just pray today that you may be just doing your work even as we speak, even as we're hearing and listening, that you are putting your Spirit in us so that our hearts are burning, so that something is stirring within us, and that we may have all our attention and all our intention in seeking you, in seeking your will for our lives. So many things that are out there to distract us. So many things that are out there trying to call our attention and trying to deviate our walk, trying to leave Jerusalem instead of going back to the place of peace. Help us, Lord. Help us so that we may know not only who you are, but what is your purpose with each one of us. We pray these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.